As the Northeast wakes up to the effects of Hurricane Irene, so does its economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We'll get to the global perspective in just a moment. We begin this morning, though, with the economic cost of Hurricane Irene. Water is rising quickly in parts of the Northeast, upstate New York, Vermont, and New Hampshire, where flooding is a major concern. In other places along the East Coast, residents are awakening this morning to billions of dollars in cleanup costs. In New York, subway trains are now rolling after taking much of the weekend off. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith is with us live this morning from the Brooklyn Bridge as she watches the morning commute as New Yorkers get into New York. Good morning, Stacey.
Good morning, Steve.
So the subway just reopened, but still many delays. What's the commute like for New Yorkers?
Well, like you said, the subway is reopened, but it's running on a limited basis. You know, 4 million people commute in on the subway every day. So that is a lot of people trying to work with some limited trains. We have talked to some people who are walking to work this morning because they just didn't want to chance it on the subway. And then, of course, a lot of people commute into New York from places like Connecticut and New Jersey. And a lot of them aren't going to be able to get into work. A lot of those trains are shut down because of mudslides and trees that fell on the tracks and things like that.
Now, Stacey, there wasn't as much damage in New York that some had feared. How are commuters feeling about all the preparation and the hoopla over it?
Well, some people, I think, are glad that we appear to have overprepared. I have sensed something like disappointment from some people who felt like, you know, the subways were shut down at noon on Saturday. It felt like a lot of preparation, and it didn't quite feel like it was as bad as we thought. So I think people are grateful, but I also think there was a certain sense of I won't say disappointment, but of a lot of buildup to not such a bad storm as we feared.
And what about people traveling to and from New York, Stacey, airlines and things like that?
Right. Of course, it's the most busy aviation market in the country between Newark and LaGuardia and JFK. Those airports were shut down. They are back up and running, but I'm told with delays. And, of course, that's a huge way that a lot of out-of-town travelers get to New York. And, of course, a lot of New Yorkers get out of town for business.
All right. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith, live from the Brooklyn Bridge. Stacey, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
One of the hardest hit industries was tourism, as beach resorts up and down the eastern seaboard took a significant hit. It's an important time of year, as Brian Russo from station WAMU reports.
Most coastal business owners call it the 100 days of summer. It's that time between Memorial Day and Labor Day where seasonal businesses are trying to make enough money to last the entire year. With flooding down trees and blackouts from North Carolina to New Jersey, Hurricane Irene has cut back that time frame as countless businesses were abruptly shut down and millions evacuated. Chuck Watson is with the research firm Kinetic Analysis.
You have maybe 12 or 15 high-paying weekends during the summer. Well, we've lost one for sure. We will probably lose Labor Day as well because cleanup will still be going on.
Damage estimates in the Carolinas alone range from $200 to $400 million. As Irene approached, 200,000 people were forced to flee Ocean City, Maryland on Friday. But in a fluke, the hurricane was much harder on resort towns to the north and south. And by Sunday, Ocean City was back open for business. Danny King is the owner of Kingy's Cotton Candy on the boardwalk.
Things are basically normal. There's not water in the street. Looks to me like everything went as good as it could have.
King said crowds this Labor Day weekend could even be bigger than in years past, as tourists rethink trips to areas still digging out from Irene. In Ocean City, Maryland, I'm Brian Russo for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly higher at the moment. Despite a lot of wind and rain from that hurricane that blew through, Wall Street will open on time and trade as usual today. Stocks here at home ended last week on a positive note. The Dow tacked on 134 points to close at 11,284.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. and by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
And now the global perspective on business and economics. Japan's finance minister, Yoshihiko Noda, was picked today to become that country's new prime minister. The Japanese economy has been struggling now for decades, made worse this year by the big earthquake. But its currency has stayed strong, making Japanese products more expensive globally. So officials want to change that by making the yen worth less. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports now on how a country can do that.
Want to decrease the value of your currency?
Probably the single best option is to increase the money supply.
Thomas Lease is a professor at Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management. The basic idea here is very Econ 101-y. If the supply of money increases, the value of that money should fall. But governments have to be careful.
While the producers benefit from a weakened currency, the consumers suffer from that.
Pumping too much money into an economy, like Japan's or America's, can cause inflation, making it more expensive to buy things. There are other challenges for governments trying to devalue their currency.
Other things are happening as well that may be increasing or decreasing the demand for your currency.
Carl Walsh is an economics professor at UC Santa Cruz.
The value of a currency can be influenced a lot about where people think it's going.
Walsh says it's about perception. When it comes to currency policy, people have to believe a government's efforts will work. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, Time magazine is known for its Person of the Year that it names every year. Well, now the magazine is out with a title that's not quite as prestigious. The 10 Creepiest Product Mascots. McDonald's Hamburglar made the list, as did that old Domino's pizza pusher, the Noid. Hey, I sense a trend here. Most of them are selling junk food. There's also Count Chocula and headliner Burger King's creepy plastic big-headed king. As we reported last week, Burger King got rid of its king ad campaign. He was dethroned, as it were, because customers were a little creeped out by him. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM. American Public Media.
For the U.S. military, gas isn't priced in dollars per gallon, but lives per fuel convoy.
They would commandeer sheep and camels and attach explosives to these animals and then herd the animals in front of our vehicles and blow them up.
I'm Bob Moon. The Pentagon takes up a life and death struggle to go green. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.